serve an awesome God. Amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We're so glad you've taken time to join us on this wonderful Easter morning. You know, if it wasn't for what a Savior did some 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, we would be here without hope. But because of what He did, we can have hope. We can have forgiveness. We can have redemption. We can find salvation. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Amen. Isn't it a beautiful morning? Beautiful temperature today. Spring is upon us. Amen. If you're watching online, we're so thankful you've taken the time to watch online. We have a bit.ly link at CGC. There we go. So, bit.ly/CGCguest. If you'd fill that out, a few points of information, you can be seated this morning. And if you're joining us here in person again, we're so glad you've taken the time to come out and join us in person for service. We have a small connection card. You can find them back at the welcome kiosk, or maybe one of the ushers have passed one out to you. Please fill that out. A few points of information. Turn on in at the welcome kiosk. We'd just love to get to connect with you, see if there's any way we can help you and get to know you. Again, thank you for joining us for church today. I hope you came expecting, because Jesus is going to do awesome and powerful things. At this point, or at this time, we have a special invitation for you.
A nation divided. A nation suffering. A nation confused. A nation that is angry. A nation broken. A nation in need. A nation that is lost. Yet in the chaos, hope is rising. The church is preparing. Heaven is thundering. The answer is coming. The miracles are coming. It is time. It is time to save our nation.
Amen. We definitely want you all to be a part of this. May 23rd at 6 p.m., we'll be having a special service at the Panther Arena in Milwaukee. But I know that may be a drive for some of you, so guess what? You can come right here and join us at Calvary Gospel, or also on our live stream. We'll be live streaming it here through Calvary Gospel and all around the state, because God is going to loose miracles, signs, and wonders. People are going to be delivered. People are going to be filled, because we are going to see God save our nation. How many believe that? Amen? So what I'm going to ask you between now and May 23rd, we'll be having a few more details as we get closer. But if you would join us in prayer and fasting for the awesome things God has in store for the state of Wisconsin and for our nation, as the power of God is loosed to go forth throughout our world. Amen? The power of resurrection going forth. Amen. If you're here this morning or you're online, we have a few giving options. If you're here in person, there's a clear plexiglass box at the welcome kiosk. Feel free to drop your tithes or offerings in there. If you're watching online, you can give on our website, cgcmadison.org/giving, or you can also send it in by mail, 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give. But if you do give the text giving option, please make sure you specify the amount and what it is for. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? This time we're going to go in prayer. So thankful for our wonderful praise and worship team. Amen. I don't know about you, but I came excited to worship Jesus this morning. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, for the sacrifice you gave, God, that we could find forgiveness and redemption, God. Thank you for all those that have taken time to gather together here in the building and online, Jesus. Thank you that we can gather together, that we can openly worship you in this nation, God, that we can proclaim your word, that we can proclaim your sacrifice, God. And God, thank you for not staying in a tomb, God, but thank you for rising again, that we can also rise and walk in newness of life, God. Have your way in the remainder of worship, God. Have your way in the word as it goes forth, God. Let us give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. God, all those that have come into your house with a need, God, let them leave filled, God. Let them leave touched, God. Let them leave delivered, God, because you alone are able, Father, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah,
I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, my God will never
fail. I'm gonna see the victory.
I'm not backing down from any giants. I know how this story ends.
I know how
this story ends.
I'm gonna see
the victory.
For the battle
belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see.
I'm
the battle belongs to you, Lord.
We declare in faith
I'm
today.
I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory.
For the battle
belongs to you, Lord.
To anyone, Lord.
Never lost a battle.
Never, never,
never lost a battle.
Never.
foundation, my anchor won't be moved. Storms may collide, but my soul is on fire with His word. When listen to the sound,
when listen to the sound,
power on my lips,
power on my lips.
Jesus has broken the curse.
Jesus has broken the curse.
He has never lost
a battle.
Who are you, great mountain? You should not bow low. Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle.
You are my champion, giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am.
Jesus. never lost a battle. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated darkness. He has never lost a battle.
Praise the Lord, church. There's such a powerful spirit of resurrection in this house today. You can be seated for a few moments. Never lost. Never lost. We had a wonderful Good Friday service here. I want to thank all of those that were here in attendance, participated. We talked about lost sheep. We had a lost sheep in the house, and our children found the lost sheep. We talked about things that we deal with, struggles that we have in life. I'm reminded when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. When we think of a yoke, we think of maybe a pair of oxen or a couple of mules that are hooked together. What Jesus was referring to is if you're struggling with the same battles over and over and over and over again in your life, and you are tired of beating your head against that proverbial wall of life, Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's saying, let's partner together. Let's work at this together. Sometimes we wonder why we lose battles. We lose battles because we try to fight them by ourselves. And it doesn't have to be that way. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he went to Calvary. If you're a guest of ours here this morning, it's so great to have you here in the house. We have lots of folks here visiting with us. Also, we have a new member of Calvary Gospel Church, Carl and Cecily Grant, had a little baby girl. So, congratulations to them. Also, I want to thank Brother Johnny Grant and Brother Jerry Simmons this past week. We've had a missionary that has been here. And they're ministering this morning in Prairie du Chien, but they've had a motor home that they've had some issues with. And Brother Johnny and Brother Jerry have worked a few days helping them get all of those issues taken care of. So thank you so very much to them for that. Also, if you were here Friday night in our good service, Good Friday service, I've been battling a major tooth infection. And I don't know, something about a toothache just rattles your whole head. And I'm still struggling with that this morning, and I've asked Brother John Seidel if he would kind of cover for me this morning. I hope you understand that. Thank you for understanding that. But if we stand as Brother John Seidel comes and delivers us a Easter message this morning. God bless you, Brother Seidel.
Amen. This is why we are called to gather together much more as the day approaches. Isn't that true? Praise God. What an awesome worship service. What an awesome presence of God. I'm overwhelmed by God's presence right now. How about you? Let's lift our hands and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is not in my notes, but I feel like I need to read it. And it's not necessarily part of my message, but it may be something we all need to hear in the end. Matthew 28, end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. Fear not ye. Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. He is risen. He is risen, as he said. He is risen, as he said. Praise God, the forces of darkness thought they had won a victory when they had Jesus crucified on the cross. But we know from history, we know from the book of Acts, we know from what the Bible tells us, that not only was that not a victory for the enemy, but it was the beginning of the greatest victory for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ not only rose from the dead, but he poured out his spirit upon all flesh. And it was after that event that the power and the presence of the Almighty God began to spread throughout the world. And we're here today because he has never lost. And he is risen. He is risen, as he said. Praise God. I believe that the world needs to hear the message, fear ye not. And we are the people to share that message, because we have something greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He has never lost. Amen. It was after the day of Pentecost, after the resurrection, after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that signs and wonders and miracles were disseminated throughout the then known world. Now is the time, in this day, in this age, for a risen church to be used by God to disseminate signs and wonders and miracles throughout the earth, so they may know that he has never lost and he is risen. Praise God. That's the theme of our Easter service. Luke 15:1. Verses 1 through 3. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, he didn't say this, but you may be seated. Maybe he did say that. I don't know. There's a lot in these three parables, and I'm going to work my way through this whole, most of this chapter, I think the whole chapter. It always scares people when you say you're going to read a lot of scripture. This parable, it says in Luke, but there are three parables. So we can, you can look at that any way you want, but I think that it was meant by the author and by the Holy Ghost that these three parables should be considered together. Pastor Jerry, I believe, several months ago preached from these three parables together, and I think it's suitable. I think it's correct that we should do that. Maybe they're meant to be read together. We can call them the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. I know we call him the prodigal son. Scripture says that he gave himself to prodigal living. But I want to say this morning that it's a matter of perspective concerning their lostness, if I can coin a phrase. Maybe they weren't. If we look at it differently, we'll see what it means to God when we feel like we're lost. How many have ever read the story of Tom Sawyer? There's like this age line there where I... Mark Twain used to be remembered as one of the greatest writers, novelists, storytellers. You can't read Huckleberry Finn in public anymore, but it used to be considered the first great American novel. That's what I was taught in college way back in the Stone Age. But the story of Tom Sawyer is a very American story, if I can say. And one part of the story is I find interesting. Tom and Huck and one other friend, Huckleberry Finn, and one other friend, they decided they were going to get away from it all. They skipped school and took a raft and went out and stayed on an island for a while, for several days. I don't remember how long exactly, but while they were there, they were playing pirate, just like every 9, 10, 12-year-old boy wants to do, run away and play pirate for a little while. And while they were gone, the city, the town they lived in, the village, they began to mourn the loss of these three boys, assuming that they'd been swallowed by the river. And after they'd been gone for a period of time, they assumed that they were gone because it was not unusual for the river to take people. And they planned a funeral for them. And there was a great commotion. Of course, they were setting off charges to sound the river to try and draw these presumed bodies up from the depths. And all of this was going on, and they could see it from the island that something's going on in town, and they snuck into town to find out what it is that's happening there, and they realized that they were dead. And they devised a plan. They heard about a funeral that was going to be held for them, and they determined that they would attend their own funeral. So there was a funeral for the three boys, and they were up in the loft, up in the choir loft of the church, listening to all these kind things that were being said about them that no one ever said about them when they were alive. And then they made their appearance in the middle of the funeral to let everyone know that they were alive. They had never been lost. They had never been lost. Now, I know the theme of our worship has been about Jesus never having lost a battle, and on purpose, we've given a dual meaning to this theme, never lost. The fact that our God, the one true God of all the universe, of all time, of all eternity, he has never lost a battle. In the end, he is victorious in all things. And it has been a great joy to worship him together with you along those lines. But I want to talk a little bit about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And I want to present to you the idea that perhaps God has a little different perspective on these three situations. Luke 15:4, which one of you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them? We talked about this on Friday night. Would not leave the 99 in the open pasture. I'm reading from the NET, the New English Translation. In the open pasture and go look for the one that is lost until he finds it. Then when he has found it, he places it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Returning home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, telling them, rejoice with me because I have found my sheep that was lost. I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven. Listen to me now. Today, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. We know this story as the parable of the lost sheep, and we're familiar with it. And maybe you identify with that a little bit here today. I want to move on to the next parable included there, the parable of the lost coin. What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Strange thing, silver was given a really high value in the time of Jesus, much more comparably speaking to other metals at that time than it is now. But if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them, does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search thoroughly until she finds it? Then when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. Anybody feel that joy this morning? Praise God. It was rushing through this place, the joy of the Lord. Again, a very popular story, very well known. Then lastly, the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus said a man had two sons. And I'm not sure. It appears that he told these three parables together. All at the one after the other in the same place. I don't know. Sometimes the writers of the Gospels, they piece together different instances in order to make a point. But Luke, for the most part, is chronological. And I think that Jesus told these stories together to emphasize the fact that God is calling us to repentance. And that it's a joyous thing when someone responds. Amen. Man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that will belong to me. I want my stuff." So he divided his assets between them. Sounds like the other brother got his stuff at the same time. After a few days, the younger son gathered together all he had and left on a journey to a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth with a wild lifestyle. Then after he had spent everything, a severe famine took place in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and worked for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He has long... Anybody work ever fed pigs before? I know there's some people here that have worked... Yeah, I've been to places where they have pigs, and you know you're getting close long before you're there. It's not because of what you see or what you hear. Your nose will alert you. He was longing to eat the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired workers have food enough to spare, but here I am dying from hunger. I'll make reference to this later, but this isn't really talking about food, in case you're wondering. It's talking about spiritual food. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way from home, this is one of the greatest scenes in the Bible, I think. He was still a long way from home. His father saw him. And his heart went out to him. And he ran and hugged his son and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said, see, he felt lost. Even though he was coming home, he still felt lost. But the father said to his slaves, hurry, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The sheep in the story had wandered off. I believe there's a different element to each of these stories. The sheep had wandered off. I've never worked with sheep, but I understand they're kind of dumb. They wandered off. Let's go over here. And the coin had been misplaced somehow. It's a different action there. And the son had made bad choices. He chose to go where he went. He made decisions. And from a human perspective, all three were lost. They were you couldn't find them. They were not where they should be. At that moment in time that Jesus was addressing in each of these cases, the coin was not where it should be. The lady went there and it was not there. Somehow it had been misplaced. It was out of place. The sheep, I don't know how to get back. He wandered off and now he's lost because he can't find a way back. He doesn't even know how he got where he is. And the son did not have the resources. He had spent everything. It's not just talking about material things. He had spent all his personal capital. He had spent all his social capital. Everything that he had was used up. And he had no resources to deal with life any longer. From their perspective, from the perspective of each story, the subject of the story is lost. But the Bible says that with man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You may feel like you're in an impossible situation. You may not be able to see the way back. You may wonder how you got to where you are this morning, but I'm here to tell you that there is an answer. With God, all things are possible. From the woman's perspective, it was still her coin. She didn't know where it was, but it was her coin. Where is my coin? And she set out to find it. And from the shepherd's perspective, that sheep was still part of the flock. That was still his sheep. I'm going to find. It was part of the family, part of the flock, part of the fold. He's going to find it. And from the father's perspective, I can say this from my own experience, how old or how young, your children never stop being your children. That's my son. Someday he's coming back. And I'll be waiting for him when he does. That's my son. Each of them went searching for that which was theirs. They never turned them away. As far as the woman is concerned, it may be displaced, but it's not lost. It's here somewhere. The shepherd knew that sheep was out there, and I'm going to find it. And the father believed his son was coming home. What had changed in these situations? The woman was still in her house. The shepherd was still with his sheep. And the father was still there waiting for his son to come home. They had not left their place. They had not changed. What had changed was the subject of the story. The woman, the shepherd, and the father hadn't quit doing what they do. I'm here to tell you this morning that God has not changed. He has not moved. He has not become some other God. He has not become a different Savior. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that filled you with His Holy Spirit when you spoke in other tongues, the same God that washed your sins away the day you were baptized in Jesus' name. He has not changed, and His word is still the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews says. The scripture says that He has promised to never leave us or forsake us. Parables are earthly stories designed to make a spiritual point. They are meant to reveal divine truth using a human perspective. So by their very nature, they're limited because they have a symbolic nature to them. Jesus used them to help us understand God a little better and to understand our relationship with Him a little better. But not every element of a parable is meant to apply directly to our understanding God. The story of the lost coin is not meant to be an instruction manual on how to find things. Jesus never leaves the church while He goes to seek the one who's wandered off. I hope before you leave this morning, you understand God a little better. Because you never stop being His child. you have never been out of his sight. He has never considered you too far gone. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the earth belongs to God and that everything in it is his. That's a truth that many in this world refuse to accept, but it doesn't change the fact that this is God's world. It belongs to him. And we may find ourselves like the lost coin in a situation that we never expected to be in. Somehow we've been displaced or misplaced by life. Things happen to us that we have no control over. Maybe you feel this morning like you've got a raw deal and life has dealt you a situation you did not deserve. And that's not unusual. And it may be very true. Maybe you are like the lost coin and something happened to you that you didn't cause. You never expected to be unemployed. You never expected to battle cancer or COVID or some other sickness or disease. You never expected to lose that loved one so early in life, that child or that spouse. Life does things that we have no control over and are unfair and unjust. And we feel displaced. But that does not mean that Jesus does not know where we are. My Bible says that he knows the end from the beginning. You see, I've had God open doors for me for jobs that I didn't know exist. And he can do that for any one of us. I know God's a healer. I know God can guide the surgeon's hand. I know God can use the worst situation to bring truth to someone who had no light in their life whatsoever. Jesus knows where you are. Whatever life has dealt you, Jesus knows who you are and where you are. Life has misplaced us from our perspective. We feel lost. But he has not lost us. I said, he has not lost us. We're never lost. We may wander from the path that God keeps us, from the path that keeps us in God's will, like the sheep. Just wandering. The Bible says that there's a narrow path that leads to eternal life, and there's a broad path. And many there be that walk on that path. So it would stand to reason that takes a little more intentionality to walk the narrow path than to walk the broad path. And sometimes we lose our focus and suddenly we find out we're on a different path than the rest of the body of Christ. We're on a different path than the one we used to walk. We're in the crowd and on the broad road, and we agree with more of the rest of the world than we do the people of God. But the narrow path is the one that leads to eternal life. The broad way is the way that most people are taking. And in our culture today, you know, it's whatever the majority of people say on Facebook or Twitter or wherever else, that's how we determine truth these days. But that's the broad way. It may be that we thought we were doing good, that we were making right choices, that we thought we were going the right way, doing the right thing. It was never our intention to leave the way. But suddenly we realize we're further away from the flock than we'd ever intended. And where's the shepherd? He's called the prodigal son. We sometimes confuse this, that prodigal means that you've left the way. But that's not what this parable, we've already had that parable about the one who's left the way. That's the lost sheep. The prodigal son is called the prodigal because he wasted his resources. That's what it means to be prodigal. It means to spend all your resources, to waste what you have. Sometimes it amazes me how I can forget all that God has done for me and all that God has given me. I just feel I need to let that sink in. Peace that passes all understanding. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The prodigal son lived in a wealthy household. He was a grown man. He had responsibilities. He had abilities. He had talents. He had training. He was basically in the upper tier of his culture, of the socioeconomic scale. He had already accumulated some wealth, but it was part of the household. He had value that he wanted for himself. That word self is very important in this story. But now he decided he didn't need his father. He didn't need his family. Have you ever felt like you didn't need God anymore? Have you ever felt like you didn't need the church anymore? They're too restrictive, he said. I don't want to be accountable to him for everything. It's all work and no play. I want some me time. I want to do my thing. I want to have some fun. Maybe he thought he could do things better than his father. You know, maybe he had a revelation. It's possible that he hated his brother. And that was part of the reason he left. Be careful when you feel like you hate your brother. Whoa. He made a willful choice to go his own way, and he wasted all of his resources, all his gifts, all his talents failed him. He was self-centered. And you know what happens when you're self-centered? You end up with yourself. But as far as his father was concerned, he was still his son. He looked for him every day, I believe. I don't believe it was just coincidence that he was out there that one day when the son was coming home. Every day, I think, he went to the edge of the property and looked out to see if this was the day. Is this the day when you come home? And he was waiting. If you come home today, he's waiting for you. But notice, in this case, the son had to decide to return. He had to make the decision. It was his choice. The father was ready and waiting, but the son had to make the choice. Do you need to return today? Do you need to make that choice? The Father is here. He's waiting. We feel his presence. He's here right now. He's stirring our souls. He's touching your spirit. If you've lost your way, if you chose a bad path, you're still his child. He still cares for you. He still knows your name. He still hears your prayers. He's waiting for you to come home. One was misplaced, one was misdirected, and one was misspent. You may find yourself in a situation where you can't see God, but he can see you. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. If you call on his name, he's there. This is not a Michael Jackson song. There's that age thing again. This is a promise from the God of creation, the eternal God, the God that dwells outside of time, our Heavenly Father. You may find yourself in a place where you don't know how to get back to where you need to be. But he knows where you are. And he knows the way back. He's the good shepherd. Jesus. At first I had the word God there and I felt prompting from the Holy Ghost. Use the name, boy. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. Jesus, the risen one, Jesus is the light of the world, the light that lights every person that comes into the world. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If you want to make your way back, grab the Bible, listen to the preaching. Draw near to him. He will lead you. He will show you the way back, step by step, and never leave you or forsake you. Oh, I feel the presence of God here. You may find that you have spent all of your resources and don't know how to make it up. Spent all your love. That's sometimes the most painful. Spent all your money. Spent all your strength. But the Bible says that God is love. He is love. It's his nature. He never runs out. His love is always there. There's always more than enough. If you've spent all your love, he has love for you. If you've spent all your resources, don't worry, he's got more. Everything belongs to him. Not only in the earth, but the whole universe. He never runs out. If he needs to, he can just create more. Praise God. Jesus is the Almighty God, according to Scripture. All-powerful. All-knowing. Always present. He has all the strength we need. The Bible says that in our weakness, he can be strong in us if we'll call on his name. See, we don't need to have the force with us if we have Jesus. Sorry, Abby. Sorry, Jordan. You should have seen him flinch. Our life may be misplaced, misdirected, or misspent, but God knows where we are and he knows what we need. Jesus is here right now. I said, Jesus is here right now. Let's have our musicians come. What an awesome presence of God we felt during worship this morning. We think of worship as us reaching to God, but I'm telling you this morning, I felt God reaching down to us in this place. I feel his spirit reaching out to us right now in this place. He's here right now reaching out to the one whose life has been misplaced. You don't know how it happened, but life happened to you and suddenly you're out of place and you don't know how to get back. Or maybe you have wandered from the path. Maybe you have ceased to consume his word and hear his voice, and suddenly you're wondering why you can't hear it anymore. I'm telling you, he is there. He's waiting for you. He's seeking you in this moment. Why don't we stand? To the one who chose to walk away, More than anything else, I fear the Holy Ghost reaching out this morning to those who have spent their resources in search of things that do not meet your soul's need. I feel the Holy Ghost confirming that right now. You may have been lost for the moment when you stop to examine yourself, when you stop to hear God's voice, when you stop to see the situation you're in, and you felt that lost sensation where fear comes in, where doubt comes in. Maybe anger and bitterness start to take hold because you feel vulnerable. Feel like you've lost everything, but Jesus still knows where you are. Jesus still knows what you need. Because from His perspective, He has never lost you. You may be lost, but He has never lost you. And He is there to meet you when you turn to Him, in Jesus' name. Praise God. If you feel God's presence drawing you near to Him, I want to encourage you to step out from where you are, to come down. And I, you know, this can be applied in so many ways. Maybe it's just one area of your life. Maybe it's God's call on your life. Maybe it's what area of service you need to be in. Or perhaps you've been a long time away from God and you know that He is waiting for you. I want to encourage you to come out, to step out, to come and pray. Please observe social distancing as much as you're able or as much as you're comfortable. And if you would not, if you'd rather no one came near to you and prayed, then that's okay. But at least draw near to God. The Bible says if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. Praise God. We have to make that choice. Praise God. Let's worship Him. Let's pray.
Jesus, you have all.
the hope of all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship.
Stronghold shall be broken. You wear the
Praise the Lord again, church. Never lost. Never lost. Thank you so very much, Brother Seidel, for preaching to us this morning. Wonderful Easter message. Thank you. Also, our children's ministry has some goodies for the kids out in the vestibule. As you head out the front doors to your right, they've got a table set up out there, and our Sunday school team will be out there. Once again, thank you so very much for coming out on this Easter. It's a beautiful, 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 beautiful weekend. Enjoy it. Spend some time with the family. Spend some time with friends. God bless you all. We love you. Appreciate you. Thank you to our music team, Sister Abby, and all of our music team. Awesome job this morning. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it. God bless you. Have a safe week. We will be back here Wednesday evening. God bless. Thank you.